We want you to turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. A few weeks back, we were dealing with the Christian soldier and the Christian armor, with the intervention of harvest. We left off for a couple of weeks, and now we return again to this subject. And this morning we want to speak about the breastplate of righteousness. Last time we were dealing with the girdle of truth, and this time we want to speak about the breastplate of righteousness. But before we come to God's word and to the message today, let's first of all bow together as we seek the Lord again in a word of prayer, asking help from heaven. Let us engage in prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank thee for thine precious word today. Write it upon our hearts and make us each one ready to receive the word of life. And our Father, we ask that thou would come even by thy Holy Spirit and give help and unction from above. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The story has often been told by many preachers concerning Napoleon, who ordered a bulletproof coat, and he instructed an expert to make that coat. And when it was ready, Napoleon asked the maker to put it on him. And then Napoleon brought out a pistol, and he began to fire shot after shot at the bulletproof vest that the maker had made put on himself. And he was frightened, and he shook like a leaf, but the bulletproof vest stood the test. And Napoleon was impressed, and he commended the man who made it, and he commended him for doing a good job. Now, no Roman soldier who would be in his right mind would ever go out into battle without the breastplate of protection. He'd be foolish to go out unprotected. There were various types of breastplates, and I could name some, but the most common one of all was made of a molded metal plate, and it was tailored to suit each soldier, and it was attached to the girdle around the waist. And this piece of armor, made of metal plates, covered the body from the neck down to the waist, to the top of the thighs, ensuring that that important part of the body was protected during war and during fighting. This breastplate, as I've said, extended from the neck to the waist, and it was linked to the girdle around that waist. The soldier in battle was the target of the fiery darts of the enemy. And even though these darts might have been thrown, some of them, from a distance, yet they were aimed at the heart of the enemy soldier, the soldier on the opposite side. And therefore, the breastplate was to give protection to all the soldier's vital organs, covering from his neck down to his waist. And therefore, you can see how vitally important such a piece of armor would be for the Roman soldier. At times, the Roman soldier also engaged in hand-to-hand warfare and battle. And in that way, he would be in danger of losing his life by a swipe of the enemy's sword coming at him. And therefore again, the breastplate would be a means of protection and guarding him against the attack of the enemy. It was this Roman breastplate which Paul pictures here and writes about here and brings it into the spiritual warfare. And this suggests to us a whole topic of truth. The breastplate was vital for the soldier, and so also is righteousness vital for the Christian. It's called the breastplate of righteousness. We are to take the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible tells us, and Paul writing in Hebrews, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness and righteousness go together, and we cannot have one without the other. And so therefore, it is important to have the breastplate of holiness or righteousness as believers, as we engage with the enemy. The girdle of truth, as we saw last time, depicts the embodiment of truth, but the breastplate this morning would be depict that the righteousness of truth in action. It is this whole embodiment of truth, not just as a theory or as a doctrine or something to believe, and we do believe it, but here we see it in action, working out in reaction in our lives. And I wonder, as Christians today, soldiers of Jesus Christ, yes, we know the theory, we've learned the doctrines, but are our lives being practically worked out for Jesus Christ and living righteously in his sight? Now, the original word translated righteousness in Hebrew, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, is repeated many times in the New Testament. Over 90 times does it appear. And it's 30 times in Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans has been described by many commentators as the epistle with the theme of righteousness. And so it is. Righteousness is the theme of Romans. And over again we read of that word. In fact, we read about it 5 times in our scripture reading this morning. And it's mentioned elsewhere in that same chapter. And it's mentioned over 30 times in the entire book of Romans. God's righteousness is received in the gospel, and it's received by faith. That same righteousness is required in each one of us. Righteousness is received through faith in Christ. It is not something that we produce of ourselves. It's something which God does for us and God does in us. Righteousness is also reproduced in a life that is yielded to God, yielded in service to Christ and living for him. This righteousness of which Paul speaks is the character and quality of being right and just and living in that sense for God. Righteousness is used to denote also an attribute of God. In Romans 3 verse 5, for example, it says, but if our righteousnesses commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? And then, in the context of that verse, it sets forth the righteousness of God. And this is the righteousness that we need. By being born of our own nature, we are sinners, both by nature and by practice. But we need the righteousness of God, and we receive that only by faith. And this morning, you can't be a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you can't be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, unless you have accepted by faith the righteousness of Christ and put on that robe of righteousness which God gives to us when we come as sinners to Him. We were singing in that lovely hymn of Zinzendorf's, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. He realized that he was dressed not in his own righteousness, but in the glorious dress of Christ in his righteousness. And Paul further writes in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. This imputed righteousness of Christ to us rules out any self-righteousness. Even the very godly prophet Isaiah, he lamented the very thought of self-righteousness in his day when he writes in chapter 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And so we need the righteousness of Christ. And the thrust here in Ephesians 6 and verse 14 is not referring so much to imputed righteousness as it is to imparted righteousness. Righteousness for daily living, day by day, working it out in our lives, standing not only in righteousness, but living in righteousness. Daily, practical Christian living. And for that, we need the breastplate of righteousness. I wonder today, are you living for the Lord with that breastplate of righteousness? And you're showing that it's there. And it's a testimony to the very fact that you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. The imagery here of a breastplate of righteousness did not originate with the Apostle Paul. Again, going back to Isaiah, and this time to chapter 59, Isaiah describes the Lord like this. He said, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Paul didn't limit the Christian soldier figure, as we have here in Ephesians 6, to this letter alone. In Romans chapter 13, he writes, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Putting on the Lord Jesus. Putting on the breastplate. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul was encouraging the folks to whom he wrote. He was encouraging them to display the breastplate of righteousness. And again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, he referred to the breastplate when writing about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Let us who name the name of Christ, let us who know him as our Savior, let us stand up as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, having not only the girdle of truth, but the breastplate of righteousness. We need the breastplate. It's necessary because of the dangers that we face, because of the perils that lie ahead of us, because of the attacks of the enemy, because of the dangers day by day that face every believer. And while we're in this body, we are living in this territory here on earth, and this territory has been described as Satan's territory. It is true that this is God's world. He made the world. But until we arrive in heaven, until we get home to glory, we're passing through a valley of conflict. We're passing through a stage of warfare. In this world, Satan is always active, and he's always aggressive towards his people, towards God's people, towards the children of God. Think of Job, way back there in the Old Testament, one of the earliest patriarchs, when he met to worship God, met for his own devotions with the Lord, Satan was there to accuse him. Satan was there to slander him. Satan was there to hinder him. Think of Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, we read, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." And while we're in this body, passing through this valley of conflict, we will be at war with Satan. And Satan will be there to hinder us. He'll be there to accuse us and to slander us, and there to take our minds away from the things of God. Remember Jesus said about Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord Jesus had warned Peter. And Jesus had said to his disciples, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And Jesus knew how Peter would have to meet with many temptations and onslaughts from the enemy. But thank God, our great high priest has not only prayed for Peter, but he's praying for us, and he's praying in glory. He's interceding for us there. Let us unashamedly wear the breastplate of his righteousness. Put it on day by day, that we might be able to withstand everything that the devil might hurl at us. We think too of Paul himself. Satan hurled darts of thorns to his flesh. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." But God promised the apostle Paul that his grace was sufficient. And God's grace was sufficient. And at the very end of the age, Satan will still be a liar. Right up to the very end, until Jesus comes, until the Lord returns, Satan will be the accuser, he'll be a liar, he'll be the tempter, he'll be the slanderer, and God's people will be passing through this valley of conflict until such times. May we put on the whole armor of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's nothing that harms the Christian more, nothing that harms a believer more than unrighteousness in his life. That is, sin in his life. worldliness in his life. Those things in his life that ought not to be there. And wearing the breastplate of righteousness will protect us from those things which ought not to be in our lives, and will guard us and keep us from the ways of the world. Sin in the Christian's life will destroy the peace of that Christian's heart and mind, will rob him of the joy of God, will rob him of the joys that the Savior gave him in the first place, will rob him of his peace, rob him of all that is good in his life. It'll hinder his prayers. In fact, it'll keep him from praying at all. And therefore, he'll be barren and backslidden. And it will mar him as a witness for Jesus Christ. It will destroy his testimony. That's what sin will do. And we need to be guarded against the enemy and against sin. Paul again, writing this time in Romans chapter 6, he says, "Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." But he goes on to say, "But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And so, as we take the breastplate of righteousness, and we seek its protection and shelter from the darts of the enemy, let us yield ourselves to God and all the members of our being, and let them be instruments for God to use, and let them be instruments of righteousness unto the Lord. That's what God is requiring. The devil's target is the believer. And he targets the heart of the believer. He targets the soul of the believer. The target of the devil is our hearts. If he could wean away our hearts from the Lord, and if he can damage and hinder us. And the first target the breastplate of righteousness must cover is therefore the believer's heart. And it does. Today, we see the heart as the seat of our emotions and the seat of our affections. And we need to guard our emotions. We need to protect our wills, and we need to protect our whole being. And when the heart is protected, then, thank God, the heart will direct the mind and the will, and we will be in the will of the Lord. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 4, "For as man thinketh in his heart, so is he." But he said, "With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of the heart." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of the heart. So let us keep with all diligence, carefulness. Let us be extremely diligent in protecting the heart. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is the way to do it. The great preacher Spurgeon once commented, he said, "This will guard the heart, that is, the righteousness of God imputed and imparted. This will protect the heart and blunt the edge of Satan's temptations, which he aims at the soul." So friends, today it's important, if we want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we make sure we put on the armor and make sure the breastplate is in place. Another target for Satan's fiery darts is not only our heart, but our feelings and our emotions, and also all these things which relate to our feelings. That's why when we're saved, we don't want to rely on our feelings. Feelings can change. I remember when I became a Christian at 14. The preachers who helped me at that time encouraged me not to rely on my feelings for assurance of salvation. And while feelings are part of it, because we can't help feel the joy of sins forgiven and the peace of a renewed heart, yet nevertheless our feelings change and our emotions change. And the base and the groundwork of my assurance for salvation is not my feelings or my emotions, but the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth, the promise that God has given to me in His Word. I rest my soul there. I rest my heart and my mind there. The Bible tells us that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. And so long as our minds are stayed upon Jehovah and our hearts are fixed in Him, no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what Satan does to us, we will still know the underlying peace of God and that inner joy which cannot be taken away, which the world doesn't give, and praise God, the world cannot take away. Satan may play havoc with our feelings and with our emotions. And that is why, as I've said, the Christian needs to walk by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in what God said He'll do, He will do. And that's why we need to walk by keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and looking unto Him and not looking inwardly or to ourselves, but relying solely and entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The devil's tactics in attacking God's people and his aim in attacking God's people is to attack the mind, the emotions, and to make a great attack on the faith of God's people. He'll do everything to make us feel and to make us think and to make us behave and to make us believe contrary to God's word. And he'll use all means to try and divert our attention away from God's word. He'll even use false teaching. Those who come in as wolves in sheep's clothing amongst God's people, leading God's people astray with falsehoods. And he'll come as an angel of light and will think everything's lovely and hunky-dory. But my dear friend, we need the armour of God without it. Remember, we're soldiers, we're battling, we're on a war field. And the Christian life is indeed a warfare. And we don't fight it in our own strength. David was asked to wear the armour of another. Saul thought to give David his armour as he went out to fight against Goliath. But that was not the proper armour. My dear friends, we need not to rely on the armour that man might provide and the cover that others might give to us. We want to rely solely on Scripture, on the Word of God, and on the work that Jesus Christ has wrought for us on Calvary's tree. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Have you on that breastplate of righteousness this morning? Righteousness is everything that Satan is not. The devil's the very opposite of righteousness. God is characterized by righteousness and holiness, as we have seen very clearly already this morning. But Satan is that wicked one. Satan is that evil one. God is light, but Satan, he likes to work in the darkness. And he is indeed darkness himself. God is life, but Satan, he is the author of death. He will kill. All truth belongs unto the Lord, but Satan is the father of lies. My friend, we need God's armor if we're to stand up against the wiles of the devil. Peter wrote to first century Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." We cannot escape by reading the Bible the thought of the holiness of God. We can't escape seeing there in Scripture the righteousness of God. We also can't escape noticing in reference to men that there are none righteous. No, not one. No man is righteous before the Lord. And yet God demands righteousness. God demands holiness. For without it, no man shall ever see God. How then can we be made the righteousness of God? The Bible has the answer. We're made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Sinner without God today in this meeting house, you can accept Christ as your Savior today. You can become the righteousness of God in Christ, through Christ and by faith in Him. He died that the rags of your own righteousness might be put away. He died that you might be clothed with the garments of His righteousness. He rose again, and thank God, by simple trust and faith, reaching out to Him, we receive His righteousness. We're placed into Christ. We have a standing in Christ which is acceptable to God the Father. And thank God, we can, by putting on that breastplate of righteousness as soldiers of the Master, daily shine forth. Our armor can gleam with the brightness of Christ in our lives as a testimony that He is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Captain. He's the one in whom we trust. And we go out to meet the world and the flesh and the enemy, not in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ. The breastplate is a vital part of the armor of God's provision for His people. Stand, it says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. How can you live without it? You can't. A Christian's life ought to show forth the breastplate. It ought to show forth the victory that's in Jesus Christ and the armor that He provides. We must put it on as a deliberate act. And we must do it every day. Thank God we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, imputed to us and received by faith. That happened at our conversion. But day by day, praise God, the believer, he must put on this breastplate of righteousness. He must do it deliberately. It's an act. The soldier going out to fight. The coat of armor just doesn't land on him automatically and in some magical formula. No, he takes it by hand. And he very carefully puts the pieces on one by one. And we can imagine him putting on the breastplate and making sure it's secured to the girdle. And making sure it covers his body from neck to thigh. And then he'll go out with confidence to face the enemy. Tell me, is this a daily practice with you? Is it a deliberate practice with you? Will you this week, today, and every day, Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. I trust that you will do that as we leave this house this morning. We'll recognise that God has made provision. There's no need to live a life of defeat, but we can live a life of victory. And that victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore stand having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let us bow together in prayer. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for grace in these days to stand. And we pray, Lord, that thou would enable us to put on the breastplate of righteousness as we are commanded. And grant our Father that we may not rely on the flesh. We may not rely on ourselves. But may our eyes be always toward the Lord. In days of trial and testing and difficulty, when life is not easy, help us, Lord, to fight not in our own strength, but in the strength of our God. Abide with us, Lord, and bless us as we come to sing our closing hymn. And grant, O God, that today we might indeed be those who are totally dedicated and yielded as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.